It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Hockey, yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
Yeah, it was Ector, so I went the opposite direction. And I went to Taubes, so yeah, we all mulled Taubes, and then I saw it. I didn't even actually know it was in that score, to be honest with you. It was a 3-on-1, and yeah, it happened so fast, and didn't even know we had a hat trick, so we celebrated in the room pretty good with him.
Fair to say your new skates worked tonight?
Yeah, right.
What happened last game?
No, I had a podcast yesterday, oh. And I baked new skates when I was recording.
Nice.
Yeah, maybe I have to ask Tony every game now. Pretty soon. Yeah. He's going to be really happy with me. Yeah.
And welcome in to Judd's Hockey Show, a late night edition, but well worth it after a thrilling 6-5 win for the Wild against the Jets. Judd's Hockey Show, of course. I'm Judd. He's Declan. And all right, Dex, I want to start off with this thought, because this was a thrilling game.
Pour my drink after midnight here.
It was. You go right ahead. I might pour my own right here with the Surly Furious. It was a thrilling game. It's one of the best. It's one of the best regular season games I've seen in a long time. It felt like a playoff game in some ways. But here's where I want to start. So I dubbed this team about 5 years ago or so the Furious Rallies, as an insult to the fact that this team of Parisi and Suter and Zucker and just go down the entire list. Koivu and Nino and Granlund. I dubbed them the Furious Rallies as an insult because they didn't care until they did care. And then when they did care, it was balls to the wall. It was, you know, lots of times too late. But then they cared, and it's like, we're going to come back. And it's like, you got yourself in this, you idiots. Like, yeah, don't even bother. Just go home. And I got some tweets tonight as the Wild came back. The Furious Rallies are back. And I'd like to say something. Okay. No, they're not. This is why. And I know that there's a lot of people with Parisi and Suter and Koivu jerseys. This is why I was begging for this roster to be torn apart. Because what we saw tonight was not an indictment of, well, they had to come back and win. It was a credit in the fact that they, A, didn't give up. Their goalie, I don't care what the coach said, had a bad game. They looked to be dead, but they weren't dead. They came back and won on Joel Eriksson-X hat trick on a perfect tic-tac-toe Fiala Kaprizov-Ek goal in OT. And this is what I was dreaming of when I said, get this roster torn apart. Bring in new guys. Marcus Foligno, let's just take him for a second. And I will go back to what I said to you last week. I don't care about the points. Marcus Foligno, with a letter on his sweater now. He's always tried hard, but he is a man possessed. And this entire team, Declan, the way tonight that I saw them, and it's three games in, I get that. But this also extends to a lot of, I think, what we saw in the pandemic short in 2021. The way that they lift each other, and the way that they play, and the fact that they now have a player in Kaprizov who's a superstar who the opposing team has to focus on. This team is so far from the Furious Rallies garbage that we saw And what we saw tonight was so much fun. This team is so tight, and you can tell that. I just want to be very clear here. There's a big difference between not caring and then caring,
yep,
and caring the entire game and then winning it. Kudos to the roster that Bill Guerin has built. This is what I was talking about. The floor is yours.
Huge win, man. Huge win. Especially considering up until the overtime save, and we'll get into it in a little bit, Cam Talbot did not have his game tonight. Cam Talbot was, I'll be honest, pretty brutal through all of regulation. And Connor Hellebuyck, through the most part, up until the last 5 minutes, looked like the guy who could have won a Vezina trophy and should contend for a Vezina trophy again this year. He made some big-time saves. You and I were sitting next to each other, and we said, I believe it was Nico Sturm. Nico Sturm had a big breakout play. And look, Sturm's a fast, nice player. You and I have been on his bandwagon and on his fan parade. But he makes a nice move, and Connor Hellebuyck makes a big save. And you and I looked at each other and said, I think that's probably it, right? I mean, that's a goalie that makes a big save, and that'll probably wrap things up. And then the Wild still find a way to rally. Zuccarello, Kaprizov, Ek, after a mostly, yeah, they had some chances, but still got a little too cute at times. They start carrying the load as well. They end up having a great game towards the end. They help fuel that rally. And I think to your point about Parise and Suter and Koivu all being off this team, and this being a new era Wild, about Bill Guerin saying, this isn't about hard work and having fun. This is about effing winning. That comeback was the epitome of that statement. And when you have guys like Kaprizov, Fiala, and Ek making big-time plays, Matt Dumba having a big night tonight as well, this is a new era of the Wild. And yes, it's overreaction season. You and I did an overreaction episode 2 days ago after the 2-0 start over two bad Carolina teams, or California teams, excuse me. And the Winnipeg Jets are supposed to be damn good this year. The Jets should contend and most likely be in the playoff picture in a crowded Central Division. But so far, for the Wild to come out in front of your first time in, what, Judd, 21 months, having a full-capacity crowd, and you deliver that kind of performance, and I know the full-capacity crowd, it was more like half-capacity by the time that comeback was completed.
Yeah.
At the same time, an incredibly encouraging win. I know, and lastly here, quickly, I try not to get too sucked into hockey cliches, mm-hmm. hockey culture, mm-hmm. hockey things that I know guys that played hockey and people who watch hockey understand that and get that, and I respect that. But that kind of win is a signature win for a hockey team, and it goes a long, long way.
Yes, that is. But that win, and this is the key, that win looks to me, and this goes back to last year too. That's who this team has become, and that's what's impressive. And let me tell you right now. So the Jets accomplished, Kyle Connor of the Jets accomplished a feat, a mistake tonight that is really hard to do. He was offsides on an empty net goal. And if they get that goal, it's what, 6-4?
Game's done.
Okay. So the Wild, I heard Dean talking about this in his post game. The Wild basically got buzzed from their, I think it was their video guy saw it because Connor was on the far side of the ice away from the Wild bench, so they couldn't see that he was offside from their bench. But that was an incredible stroke of luck. That's a terrible play by Connor. All of that being said, this Wild team works and deserves that and gets a break like that because they do work hard, because they do care, because there are some guys who didn't have great games tonight, Dex, but here's my question. How many Wild players did you see, because we've seen this before, take the night off, like where they just don't show up, where you're like, you don't even care, do you? I didn't see it. I don't. That doesn't mean that Fiala can't potentially have better games. Greenway, same thing. So I'm not saying that this entire team was perfect. But this team for years never deserved, nor did it create its own luck. And the difference between the team that we saw last year, and I think it's more honed now. But the difference between the team that we saw last season and now into this year is this is a team that creates its own good fortune through hard work. And I cannot tell you what a breath of fresh air, win or lose tonight, that game was. Because one, it was a really fun game. The other thing too, and just as a fan, and Dex, I mean, I'm sure that you agree with this 1000%. But the other thing too is, how about the speed now?
Yep.
Like they're going up and down with the Jets. The Jets are a good team. You're right. The Minnesota Wild, aside from like Rask, and I'm not going to bag on Rask here, okay? But he's just not fast. But the Minnesota Wild basically now skates four lines of guys who can all keep at pace. The OT, right? The OT. I was charting the shifts. I used to chart them because it was so repulsive what you saw. Because guys couldn't keep up, and it's like Suter has to be out there, and he's going at like half speed, and now here comes Parisi, and he's slower than Ryan was, and then here comes Koivu, and he can't skate. Tonight, watching that OT, watching that first period, watching that entire game, you had a team that was playing at pace the entire game. We talked about this on this show, I think it was 2 years back now. They couldn't play at pace. They wanted to, and they couldn't. When Dean took over this team, he basically said, we are going to skate. And we watched that team, Declan, and we're like, okay, he wants to skate, but they can't skate. Tonight, they can skate. They can skate now. They can keep up. They can create their own good fortune through hard work. Their goaltender can pull a Dubnyk. And it's not a death sentence to the game, because in OT, he makes, what, three or four huge saves. Dubnyk never got to OT. When's the last time that Devin Dubnyk got to the 3-on-3 and made saves? He didn't. The first big save that Talbot made in OT goes in on Dubnyk. Yeah, I'm sorry. I am so relieved. All apologies to Zach Parise. All apologies to, hold on a second. I'll bring his buyout brother into the show. Buyout brother two. Ryan Suter.
Brother.
I just can't tell you as a hockey fan what a relief it is to watch that game tonight and realize we can now attend a team's games who can play the way the game should be played.
Yeah, man. I mean, this is exactly what you and I have been talking about. This is why Bill Guerin ends up biting the bullet and ends up buying out Zach Parise and Ryan Suter and kind of drops a bombshell on fans in July. And look, Parise and Suter, if you could go back and you do it again, you do it again. No one would not do that again, I don't think. It changed the entire perception of the Wild, who were stagnant after a great little jolt of being back in Minnesota for having the NHL back in hockey. But at the end of the day, and look, it was fun. It was fun watching Parise and Suter be here. At the end of the day, you had two first-round playoff wins, and that was all you had to show for it. And maybe more importantly, towards the end, which I think outweighs the good, it got bad. It got bad on, not just on the ice, it got bad in the room. And it took Paul Fenton to first come in and say, I'm going to start trading guys. And some of his assessments were dead on. Mikhail Granlund for Kevin Fiala is a home run trade. I will go to my grave on that. It's a home run trade.
Oh, yeah.
You could also make the case that Niederreiter for Victor Rask is also one of the worst trades in hockey in the last 10 or 15 years. You can also make those case. But Paul Fenton said, something's not right here. This core of Parise, Suter, Koivu, and the supplementals of the Zucker, Granlund, Coils ain't going to work. I'm going to start breaking it up. And then, obviously, we figured out Paul Fenton was just, like, one of the worst humans to deal with in the workplace and not a great guy, and he gets canned. So then Bill Guerin comes along.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Guerin steps in, who is a former cup winner, a former captain, a former role player, a very self-aware player.
Yes.
Very self-aware player. A player that, when his time was coming to the end in Pittsburgh, said, how could I help this team? Because I'm not the player I used to be. Mm-hmm. And then he transitions to an executive role, and all that obviously trickles in, and he sees that this is not working. So he ends up breaking it up even more. He trades Eric Staal after he gives him a no-trade list and says, I don't care you gave me a no-trade list. You didn't leave the Sabres on there, so I'm trading your ass to Buffalo. Right?
Yes.
And then he still ends up locking up guys like Joel Eriksson-Ek. He doesn't want to trade draft picks. He wants to keep Kirill Kaprizov and get some gun for 5 years. We would love to see him Kevin Fiala sign. At least I would love to see Kevin Fiala sign long-term. But he's keeping this core together because he realizes that this culture and everything else had to change here. So when Jared Spurgeon becomes captain, and Marcus Foligno and Matt Dumba now take alternate captain roles, it goes to show that this is a completely new era of Wild hockey. And I think the epitome of that happened tonight. And I know we haven't really even gotten too much into the nuts and bolts of what happened this evening at XL Energy Center in St. Paul, because mm-hmm. I think what happened tonight is such a bigger conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, we can talk about how insane that win was for the Wild tonight. Obviously, it was an incredible win. It was your first home game in 21 months with the full crowd. But I think it also goes to show guys like Joel Eriksson-Ek and Kevin Fiala and Kirill Kaprizov being the new faces of this team. So it is, and we'll get into the game here, and I think in just a little bit after we get off a soapbox, but
We're thrilled.
This is a thrilling win for the Wild, who are now 3-0 on the season.
Yes, and as a fan of hockey, it is so fun to watch. I mean, that was the majority of Wild playoff games that I've seen aren't as good as tonight's game as far as the product goes. Like, I've seen a lot of playoff games where, you know, again, they care, they sort of didn't care, and it wasn't a terrible game, but I mean that game tonight was thrilling. It was end to end. This is why you want teams that can skate. Okay, let's get to the first line, okay? Because statistically, sure, they had a great night. Yeah. And I want to get your thoughts on this, because we definitely talked about this during the course of the game, but Zuccarello tonight, 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 shots. Kaprizov, 3 assists, no goals, 3 shots. Eriksson-Ek, a hat trick, 7 shots. So this line tonight totaled 5 goals, 5 assists, 10 points, 14 shots. Here's the thing. They didn't shoot enough. They could have shot more. And Declan, I think this line's going to take off completely.
Sure.
But I think with what we've seen these first three games, they've been too cute at times. They're still trying to get their exact roles. My point being is, Declan, they total 10 points and 14 shots, and there's a lot more there. But like, true, we saw that line, Kaprizov at times for sure. Zuccarello, you pointed this out for sure. There were a lot of times where you're like, Matt, you got to shoot the puck. But I mean, if they got 10 points, 5 goals, and 14 shots, and we were basically griping, what's the ceiling for mm-hmm. these three? I mean, that's a fantastic statistical night, excuse me, and it's just a start.
A couple things, too, because analytically they were beastly tonight, too. Corsi-wise, they outpossessed the Jets. They created high-danger chances, 6-1. So when they were on the ice, they were literally creating more high-danger chances than they were allowing by far. And this is not to say that line played poorly. So, and I think there might be even some fans listening right now, they're saying, what are you talking about? They like, you just explained that what they did at the end was big. Analytically, they had a big night. And we're saying, yeah, it was a good night, but look what they can do.
Right.
When Matt Zuccarello scores that first goal, that was exactly what I turned to you. I said, this is exactly what I've wanted him to do forever. He might be the second best playmaker on this team that's not named Kirill Kaprizov. You could even make a case, just bona fide, put him in a glass ceiling playmaker. You might make a case he is the best just natural playmaker on this team. I think it's Kirill, but you can make a case it's Mats. Totally.
He was
a great playmaker in New York for years.
Absolutely.
But he has ability to shoot the puck that he never does, so he should shoot the puck more. Joel Eriksson-Ek, who Bill Guerin called me out on this show and said, I disagree with you, Declan. He actually has a lot more skill than I think you give him credit for, and he's not going to get garbage goals and parking himself from the net, which he did do tonight, by the way, but mm-hmm. he also showed skills with his hands in that wraparound. He scored a hat trick tonight. There is
the second
more.
Goal.
Yeah.
The second goal was beautiful. The puck went off the boot of Mats's skate, bounded up in the air, and X swiped it in.
Yep.
Like, it was a greasy goal, but the hand-eye coordination on Eriksson-Ek's part was phenomenal.
This is not just a guy who, and by the way, I still think at the end of the day, he scores a lot of his goals parking himself in front of the net and cleaning up garbage. But I'll eat crow, and that I will say, yeah, Guerin was right, and there is way more to this guy's game, which is a good thing, by the way. I love that.
But your point, his greatest purpose on this line is going to be what you talked about, and what we're going to need to find is for Mats and Kirill and him to sort of get what their roles are, and they're just going there right now. But yeah, Erickson Ek, I mean, Declan, think about what this guy has developed into. What, 2 years back, we were all talking about Brock Besser and why they didn't take him. And I think there were certainly times that Guerin and or Fenton could have come close to trading him. Mm-hmm. And you look at what this guy has made himself into, and the fact that he does go to the greasy areas and get those goals. But yeah, I mean, this line had 10 points tonight. They had 14 shots, and there is more. The upside here to me is just so exciting, because you're now basically skating four lines that can all skate. I still think that Hartman in between Foligno and Greenway is fantastic. Let's talk about, because ordinarily these things are like, it's not that big of a deal, or it's stupid, or it shouldn't have happened. Let's talk about the Brendan Dillon Marcus Foligno fight.
Okay.
Because regular season wise, for this team, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
When's the last time that, one, you saw a wild player involved in a fight that was that good a fight? Because yeah, there were haymakers thrown. This was not a wrestling match. And second of all, when's the last time that you remember a fight that actually had a sustained ability in the building to keep the momentum going? Like I've seen brief jolts from fights where the fans get excited, you know, because of the fight and the team. I felt like Foligno through that fight and a few plays tonight, and this is where he is just so effective and so valuable. I felt like that fight, if anything, took a game that was pretty intense and upped it for an extended period. And again, I don't remember. I don't recall him. You might have to go back to Bugard to find a wild player in a fight that was a real Donnybrook, not just we'll throw some punches and then wrestle and then be done.
Totally. Quickly before I answer your question and talk about that fight. Number one, for everyone that's watching us, hanging out late with us on our YouTube channel, thank you. We got 200 people in our room right now watching some Minnesota Wild content. We appreciate it. If you want daily Minnesota Wild content, subscribe to this channel right here on Score North. We also obviously pump out Timberwolves and Vikings and Twins content here on Mackie and Judd. We want titles. And on Judd's Hockey Show specifically, we want cups. So if you want more of Minnesota Wild content, like this channel, hit subscribe. We're obviously available on Apple, Spotify, and ScoreNorth.com. And one other housekeeping thing as I get it in here quickly, we are giving away Wild tickets to a game against the Predators this Sunday. I believe we're drawing that tomorrow. Or no, on Thursday. Thursday. So we are giving away Wild tickets. All you have to do, pick up your cell phone, enter the Score North app, hit listening rewards, enter to win those tickets. We'll be doing a drawing here. So if you want Wild tickets, it's in the Score North app, Apple, or on Google Play Store. You can find that. With Marcus Foligno's fight, this is what you talked about to me when I said, hey, offensively, this guy's going to regress, Judd. Every metric says he will. There's no reason to say he won't. Any not even analytic novice could say offensively he's going to regress. But your retort was true, but I don't care, because what he's going to bring off the ice is going to be is such a bonus that I don't really care that he regresses or if whoever he is offensively because of what he means. So he has this big fight with Dillon. And by the way, Dillon was the one who took the nasty elbow from Kaprizov and then cross-checks Kirill Kaprizov, and all hell breaks loose. Kirill's the one that ends up going to the box. It's then anarchy when Kirill gets out of the box. The Wild end up scoring, and immediately, and I don't know if I would like to go back and rewatch who initiated this one, if it was Dillon who wanted to go, who I'm guessing it was because the Jets just got scored on. Mm-hmm. But regardless, he made a decision that said, all right, I'm going to spark this team up, and I'm going to go with Marcus Foligno, who is known. This is, I mean, you picked a fight with the wrong bear. And Marcus Foligno goes in there, drops the gloves, and the wrestling nerd in me, and I know a lot of other people notice this, channels his inner Roman Reigns with the Superman punch.
He is that what
jumped
that was?
Off the ground and punched him in the face.
Yeah, it was incredible.
And then took two or three more licks, and he, like, they separated them. You know, it wasn't like Foligno got him on the ground and beat the living crap out of him. I think it would be very easy to say, watching that fight over and over again, that Foligno won it, but Dillon made a humongous mistake because Foligno got the entire crowd going. to your, it is easily, it was the best fight I've ever seen in person by far in a hockey game. I've never seen a fight like
the
that.
Old days, but yeah. So
and my youngness, right. I saw Bugard. I'm old enough to remember Bugard. I even remember, you know, Steve McKenna, for God's sakes. I can even break out a Steve McKenna reference from the inaugural year at the Wild, who I remember very well. That bout was a dumb decision by Dylan because he picked it with the, if he picked it with someone else, like Kulikov, you know, or,
well, I think
or someone
anything,
dumb.
I think the key, though, is this, and this is where, again, Foligno is so important to this team. I think anybody that messes with Kaprizov is going to have to go through Foligno eventually. And so you know, I mean, with the way that guy can fight, there is clearly going to be some guys that now just say, I'm not going to do that. Now, the interesting thing with Kaprizov is this, though. If you go after him, he'll go right back.
It's true.
So like Foligno, how can I say this? Foligno will fight on Kaprizov's behalf, but Kaprizov clearly doesn't want him to fight his fights for him because Kaprizov gets mad, and Kaprizov probably, well, not probably, Kaprizov plays better when he's mad. And so I'm sure in the Wild's mind, they're like, okay, you know what? You go bash Kirill Kaprizov. Now, I don't want him to get hurt. But if you're going to go take a run at this kid, he's going to come right back, which I absolutely love. And that's the thing that makes him so special. He can score goals. He can make plays. And he's tough. And if you screw with him, you're going to get him and Foligno. And that's where this whole thing of like a chemistry experiment to me is working, because that's what you want. And that's where, as well, if guys know that if I go after Kaprizov, Foligno's going to come after me or our top player, they'll stop doing it. They will. I mean, that's the one thing for all of the nonsense about fights where fans will say, well, what's the point? It's stupid. It's macho, but it makes no sense. Guys get hurt, blah, 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 which all can be true. I think the one important thing that Foligno brings through his toughness when it comes to Kirill is the fact that I know that if I try and hurt Kirill or bash him or try and do something, I'm going to have to either put up with a potential fight with Foligno and or he's going to go after our top player, which is bad. So like this should create room. I'm very hard pressed outside of the goaltending tonight to give you a lot of negatives. There were some guys that, you know, Fiala came and went a little bit.
Yeah, he had a poor game.
But that's sort of Kevin. Yep. But I don't think he quit. I don't think he quit at all. And so beyond the Talbot thing, I really thought tonight set a great tone. So you talked about this, I think, on our season preview for Judd's Hockey Show. What is your feeling about Talbot then? Because he's definitely played well in the two games against, what, the Ducks and the Kings. Those teams aren't that good. The Jets are good. What's the regression concern there? Because that is the one thing is you do not want, and I have, it's one game, so I have no clue, but you do not want goaltending to submarine an otherwise potentially good team.
I think the conundrum here is, number one, he played very well against LA and Anaheim, and that's fine. LA and Anaheim aren't really good teams. Beat up on the teams you should, take care of business against them, but tonight he looks suspect. To answer your question of, is regression coming and this is something that I would be concerned with, my panic meter is just at a 5. Like it's just, I'm kind of locked in. I'm not leaning towards everything's fine or everything's burning to the ground. I would just want to see it a little bit more. This might come off as a no bleep statement, but like this Wild team can't afford to have below average goaltending. Right. It honestly can't. Yeah. I can make a comparison that the Vikings offensive line needs to be average, right? But their ceiling needs to be average. Even if it's a little below average, they might be okay, but they need to be average. The floor for Cam Talbot and the floor for the Wild's playoff expectations, goaltending has to be average. The lowest case has to be average. And the problem with Talbot, he's been incredibly up and down in his career. in Edmonton when he, you know, started like 71 something games. Overall, he looked pretty good, but then he wore down, and then he obviously got burnt out. But then he rejuvenates his career in Calgary. He gets a nice contract with the Wild and has a solid year. I think tonight overall, he did not play well. But his big-time save and his save in overtime, which leads the breakout to the game-winning goal, like, you can make a case that if there was a third assist, Cam Talbot should get credit for it. Like, you can make a case Cam Talbot should get credit for an assist on the game-winning goal because his save set it up and led the breakout the other way for 3-on-3. Mm-hmm. And that kind of performance overall throughout regulation reminded us of the Dubnyk years. And even just, I don't have it for our video audience right here, but just looking at the shot chart and the heat map, I mean, the goals that were scored on Talbot tonight are above the circles. You know, the one from Kyle Connor that was just a rocket and it came all over the slot, like, good luck to Cam Talbot. I would love the advanced metrics on how hard that puck came off of Kyle Connor's stick, because that was just a rocket. You're not going to stop that.
Yep.
But the other goals that were scored, you know, behind the slot, behind the circles, you got to have those. And there was numerous times, too, short side, he almost got beaten. You and I both were looking at each other like, this is not it.
This is
not the Cam Talbot that the Wild need. It's goaltending. It's a volatile position. Unless you're Vezilevsky or Connor Hellebuck, honestly, on the other side of Winnipeg, there's like 2 to 3 elite-level goaltenders, and then there's just a cluster of these guys are good, and they're fine. You can build around them, but there's going to be bad games, and they're streaky. The thing with Talbot, I think I'd be worried about is, number one, not burning him out, which means Kaapo Kakkonen, maybe fortunately or unfortunately, does have to play. Kaapo Kakkonen should, at the very minimum, Judd, get 30 starts by the end of the season.
Yeah.
He should have 25 to 30 starts easily.
He's going to have to.
And then when you get into the playoffs, and this is where hockey is random, you just got to pray and hope. And overall, looking back at that night series in the playoffs, Cam Talbot wasn't a problem. I'm having fog. I don't remember Cam Talbot being a problem in the playoff series for the Minnesota Wild against the Vegas Golden Knights. But when it gets playoff time this time around, and I see this team taking a next step, they can't afford Cam Talbot to be below average. They just can't. They don't have the team that's good enough to make up for that.
Yeah, and I do think, to your point too, you're going to need to have, which this is not just true of the Wild, this is true of every single team, you're going to need to have two goaltenders, because coming back from the break, post-Olympics, the schedule is going to be absolutely crazy. So you can't start Cam. I just don't know. So the thing about Talbot's game is through three periods, he didn't play well. The OT, he was fantastic. And like, I love the fact, I do like this. I love the fact he bounced back and like didn't appear flustered, because he didn't play, you know, he could have easily been like, I haven't been good.
And guess who gets flustered in those old situations?
Devin Dubnyk did.
Our guy.
Well, yeah. Devin Dubnyk allows every nice save that Cam Talbot made in OT, Dubnyk gives up a goal. That, to your point about that last save before the Ek hat trick goal was absolutely fantastic. It was a 2-on-1, the guy's flying down the slot. Now it's a defenseman, but still he got his stick on the puck, and that's a great save. So I'm going to give you some statistics from tonight, two decks that are impressive and they're good signs. Okay.
Okay.
Three games in again. So it's one game, but they're good signs when you're playing a good team, and the Jets are that. One, face-off percentages. Okay. Because this was a bugaboo, if I recall correctly, last season for sure.
What's the problem?
The Wild, 58%, the Jets, 42%. So your four guys, Ek, Goudreau, Hartman, and Sturm, fared well. That is puck possession. And don't tell me that, who cares about face-offs? I've heard that. You know, nobody cares about face-off. No, there are times where it's not a big deal, but face-offs in your own zone, in the offensive zone, there is never anything wrong with getting possession, right?
Correct.
So 58% to 42% is a good sign. It's one game, I realize that. The other thing, and this is, to me, huge, the power play tonight. 3-for-5.
Huge.
This team last season, power play wise, got off to a, I think, almost historically bad start. But when I look at the two power plays and the top one, I think gets too cute again, but I think they'll also be fine. The power play, I think, is going to be a definite strength. And I love the fact that I think the second power play goal came from power play unit two, was a Foligno goal, and he got it by essentially being by the side of the cage, banging away, and scoring what could be considered a not so attractive goal, but it was huge too. So 3 of 5 on the power play and success in the faceoff dot, Declan, are really good signs.
Yeah, look, faceoffs, I agree with you. It's not that if you look at the teams that are number one or two in faceoffs every year, are those always the perennial cup contender teams? Probably not. But you need faceoffs in key situations. It's kind of reminds me of, if you're a defense, I'm making another football comparison here, even though I'm the hockey guy. Like if you have a bend and break don't defense, but are you good on third downs? Are you good in the red zone?
Right.
Are you good when you need a stop or when you need a key win? Are you going to come up big in that moment? And it's the same thing with faceoffs. Last year, yeah, they were putrid at faceoffs, and they had to be better at it. They simply had to. When I used to cover the St. Cloud State hockey team, and Bob Motzko was up there, Bob loved to talk to me about faceoffs and how much he thought they were just in kind of the similar situation. It's not that you have to be excellent in them, but you have to be really good in key moments. And I think that's what the Wild need in their circle as well. And as even Luke Brandt, Burnett says on our screen right here, Goudreau and Duhaime have really surprised him. And you know what? Frederick Goudreau also, I don't know if this guy's like a core player and he's fantastic. But number one, you and I during the game tonight said he is a clear upgrade on Nick Bonino, at least that's a player wise on the ice. Nick Bonino was acquired to be a role player he was a Bill Guerin guy off the ice. That's the primary reason he was acquired. I think in the end, it's going to be a bad trade because I think Luke Cunningham's just a flat-out better player, and you punt it on a young kid for a culture guy when in the long term that's not going to work out for you. But in general, Goudreau has some speed to him. I liked what he saw. I've liked what I've seen from him. I don't know how long him, Fiala, and Rask will be together because I thought Fiala was really up and down the night. But I will say Goudreau has more speed and probably a little bit more skill than I gave him the benefit of the doubt of.
Mm-hmm. In fact, there was a point late in the game, I think it was in the third period, where Duhaime replaced Rask on that line. And so that's where Rask, because he can't keep up. I mean, everybody, Rask actually has good hands. He just can't keep up. And this team now is so fast. Let's talk about the blue line, too, but before we wrap up here, because I find this to be very intriguing. Time on ice, okay? The defensive pairing that logged the most time on ice in tonight's game, Brodin and Dumba. Brodin led all Wild defensemen 26-26, Dumba 25-37. And let me give you the most positive stat.
Okay.
Matthew Dumba. Sometimes he makes great plays. Sometimes he drives the fans crazy. But let me give you his stat line that goes beyond the one assist and point that he had. Matthew Dumba had 9 shots on goal,
yep,
4 hits, 3 blocks. But let's go back to that shots on goal, because how long did it drive us crazy that this guy with this slap shot, which by the way is a great slap shot and has been for a long time, wouldn't shoot enough? There have been periods where he does, but there have been far too many where he doesn't. And where you're like, Matt, be more aggressive. Like, this is your forte, right? 9 shots. And he didn't score. And I don't care. I love the fact. And he and Brodin. So if Ek and Kaprizov, Zuccarello are trying to get a chemistry, which they're, coming off a great game. But if they're trying to sort of decide roles at times, what I love about Dumba and Brodin, who are great friends off the ice, they're the perfect pairing. Brodin is so steady that there are huge amounts of time where you're like, I didn't see him. But tonight, he made plays offensively, had a great scoring chance where he got robbed, and Dumba got 9 shots on goal. That defensive pairing of those two, if they continue to play it like they did tonight, that is exactly what you want.
I think this was a signature game for Dumba. From just a noticeability standpoint, he was a beast tonight. 9 shots on goal, creating opportunities. This was a guy who's been snake bitten a little bit, and I feel like, in general, unfortunately, on the ice wise, there has been a little bit of a disappointment and cloud over him ever since he tore his pec when he was off to that brilliant start of what now almost 3 years ago, Judd. There's still been a little bit. Well, first it was bad luck, and then there was a pandemic, and then there was a pause, and there was awkwardness. But in general, you can tell he's hungry. And there's a big reason, too, by the way. He's an alternate captain because he brings a mojo and swagger to that team that I do think they do need. Like, if you removed Matt Dumba from that room, which, by the way, his name came up on trade blocks the last few years. It's been floated around there. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a guy, too, that Bill Guerin wants to lose, i.e. why he was named an alternate captain. He's a very important player to them. And in general, when he has a big night like this, like firing pucks at will. I mean, Judd, every time you and I kept saying, oh, my God, like every.
It was great.
Every time. And he got him through. It wasn't just because how many times this drove me nuts, because it happened on the power play so many bleeping times. Uh-huh. Channel my inner Alex Boone. How many times did Ryan Suter just put the lamest, softest, wrist shot from the top of the point?
Throw it through.
Just to throw it. These were howitzers from Dumba. These were howitzers. If you're gonna throw traffic on, throw it on. Don't just throw these little cute little wiffle balls through the middle of traffic. That's the kind of defenseman, and those are the kind of moments they need. The Wild need a moment like that, and Dumba delivered.
All right, I got a crazy idea.
Okay.
What would you think if you took Spurgeon, put him on the second power play, and replaced him with Dumba, which would be Ek, Kaprizov, Zuccarello up front. Right now, it's Fiala on the left point and Spurgeon on the right point. What would you think of that? Because I will say this, that shot on the first power play is really fun to think about.
I told you that
you're
in general.
Right. It's a howitzer.
I don't think that second. I think they're gonna have to just spread. Like, the issue is that first power play unit, it should be damn good on paper. It should be very good.
But they're gonna be,
and they've scored 2 power play goals tonight. I think they're up to 4 on the season now.
Well, yeah, because Fiala got the one against the Ducks, and then I think they only had, if I'm not mistaken, 1 power play against the Kings.
Yep.
So that game almost does not count because it was just 1.
And in general, I just think that second unit is such a drop off from the first. That,
but they
like,
scored
I,
that
I kinda
goal
because
they
kinda,
worked their
right.
They worked their asses off.
Right.
Foligno, like that's the thing is those guys are going to score greasy goals, and that's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Dumba, man, that you're so right. If he has honed the howitzer now to be like, I'm going to take this thing. That's something that he is, I feel like he has not consistently done. And you're right as well about this one. It was on goal all night.
Mm-hmm. Every shot. Got
like, through. What was the year where he was taking them and it felt like a lot of them were like hitting the stanchion and crap. And you're like, what the hell? Tonight, 9 shots on goal.
Totally.
Getting them on goal.
Yeah. I Skyler on our YouTube channel right now brings up a good point. Dumb and Fiala turned over too much to put them together on power play. And you know what, Scott? Even I don't like being a power play like specialist because I feel like I'm mostly a novice when it comes to the X's and O's of this kind of stuff. I actually tend to agree here. And I like both these players a lot. I do think, I don't know, both them together would be the best decision. I don't know.
All right, here. Oh, okay, okay.
Coach Judd.
I'll come back with something new. Because I don't disagree with that, too. Because, yes, Dumba and Fiala on the points would be fun offensively, but, my God, it might
high
be a problem.
High risk, okay. High reward.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, okay. New idea. Reset. What about this one?
Okay.
And this is breaking up two guys who like to play together, but it's just a thought. Fiala up front.
Mm-hmm.
Zuccarello out. So he's on power play two. Ek is the center. Kaprizov on the other wing from Fiala. Because I still think I want to find ways for those two to play together.
Okay.
And then and then Dumba and Spurgeon. Now, I think they're both right-handed shots. So one would have to play the left side. But I don't think that that would end the world if they did that. Dumba and Spurgeon on the points. And here's why I say that. First of all, I think Fiala playing with Kaprizov challenges them both, which I sort of like. Second of all, as good as Zuccarello and Kaprizov are together, it feels like now that they just are like, hey, I'll pass to you, you'll pass to me, right? And right. At times, I want to challenge Fiala as much as possible. I feel the more he's challenged, the better he gets. Mm-hmm. And that might be fun. And I really want to find ways for Kevin and Kirill to play together. That's just one thought too. Power play one with those two on as the forwards, Dumba and Spurgeon on the points.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I'd be curious on it. I definitely love the idea of Kaprizov and Fiala together because in general, they just don't play enough, so let's maximize the opportunity, i.e. a power play to do that. Yeah, I would then probably have to slide Mats out because, number one, Zuccarello is just, if he's not going to shoot the damn puck, which I want him to do more, then, you know what, put him on the second unit and let him facilitate. Let him
right,
literally
which is
facilitate
great
again, and help other players on
pseudo
unit
center
to be better. And, you know, even let me put this back up. Eric says, you know, PP working right now. Why mess with it, Judd? Well, number one, we love line combinations, which also translate in the power play.
Exactly.
So that's why we love talking about this stuff, because it's just fun to talk about.
Yes.
But I do think, I could get down with that. I just think the problem is the first unit is too good to not be good. And we're seeing that. That's true.
And I do think they'll be fine. I do think they'll score a lot.
In general, though, that second unit, it shouldn't work. You know, it shouldn't be successful. And it's almost like if they're just eating time to eat time. Like, I don't know if it's, I don't know, maybe someone steps up, but that second unit, there's such a disparity. Like, there's such a drop off from the top unit to the second unit.
Yeah. I'm throwing ideas out there. And
yeah,
I really do want to see opportunities to get Fiala and Kaprizov together, and I think that they could be a dynamic pairing. And the good thing with Kevin is if Kirill sets him up, he's going to shoot. Like, that's the thing with Mats. Mats looks for the return pass. 22 ain't going to look to return that puck. So
he's going to slap it.
Last thing before we go.
Okay.
Why has Alex Goligoski not gotten his goal yet? Matt Zuccarello did not touch that puck.
Yeah,
that puck was thrown on, if I'm not mistaken, on the backhand at the net. It went off, I think, Josh Morrissey, the Jets defenseman. Why are we not giving Goose his goal? And it's funny, too. You know what I realized tonight, Declan Goff? I realized Goligoski's just fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
And look what he played tonight, 1921. I'm willing to bet he didn't complain about that.
No, not at all.
I'm willing to bet that the Goose got back to the room and said, "Nice night, boys."
Yeah.
I hope he said, "That was my goal."
Yeah.
But yeah, just to bring this thing full circle. Oh, first of all, a great game. Yes, it was one game. I don't care. It was a great game. It was so much fun. Second of all, this style of play, I'm sure it's not going to be this juiced every night. You know, 18,000 fans back. Bleeping Kaprizov stepped on the ice for his first shift and essentially got a standing ovation from the crowd.
Awesome.
The crowd was, Dean talked about this post game. He's right. If you were there, great job tonight. Like the crowd, there is nothing better than a crowd on a night like that. But yeah, I am, it's going to be so much fun and there will be bad streaks, I'm sure. And things that, you know, are out of the team's control are not great, but it's going to be so much fun to cover and talk about a team that actually cares about the team and not themselves. That's totally my final thought. Yours, Dex?
I agree, man. I think it's just a new age Wild. I think it's just a completely new feel about it. It's a long season. You know, the Wild are off to a nice 3-0 start. That doesn't mean that swoon season could be along in January, no matter what team or coach or who's going to happen. You're going to go through a stretch.
Yep.
But I really think this team is special. And to be honest, I believe the Avs lost tonight, the Jets lost tonight, the Hawks lost tonight. Every point matters. Every point matters right now. And also, I believe even the theory is if you're in the top eight by Thanksgiving, it's almost like a lock you're going to be a playoff team.
Correct.
So, and the Central's a gauntlet. Like, Colorado might be off to a quote-unquote slow start through three games, and they're a little bit of a sleeping giant, but you know they're going to get hot. So you need to rack up as many points as you can, and this was a big win. Now I'm just upset because I'm going on vacation.
What's
selfishly
wrong?
But the Wild don't play again until Saturday. We have 3 days off. Thursday, right? They don't play Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, so they have three
Correct.
Days off.
They're off till Saturday. Yeah, they play at what, 5 or 5:30 against the Ducks on Saturday, and then they come back against the Predators on Sunday at I think 5 or something like that. Yeah. But you know what? Take a little break here, and then so. We'll be back with our next Judd's Hockey Show when then?
Maybe Sunday night, or maybe
because no Vikings,
Monday. No Vikings,
because no Vikings.
And like I'm on vacay in Chicago.
Yeah, well, so. I mean, and there's not going to be a lot to talk about potentially here in the next.
Correct.
Few,
I think
few days.
We definitely won't have anything between now and Saturday. Well, I'll say this, you know, I don't mean to speak for him, but maybe you make a call up to Iowa, and maybe AJ Fredrickson has to hop on a podcast or something between Saturday and Sunday. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Look at you, how selfless you are. If he's really good, that could be your replacement.
Yeah, I'm Frederick Goudreau and he's Marco Rossi. You know, I'm one call away from someone getting taking my job.
Well, they're not an official sponsor of this show, but I don't care. Don't forget, kids, drink your Surly Furious. Dex is drinking something from a really cool cup.
It's for Kirill. It's a copper cup. I think you can probably figure out what's in the copper cup.
Oh, I think I can. Yes, I think I can. It looks very good. 6-5. It was a thriller. It was fun. And hopefully it's the first of many times that we feel the need, because we're so jazzed, to do a late night Judd's Hockey Show / podcast. If you watch live, as Declan said, thank you. We are done. Declan, take it away.
Pass, shoot, score. Rate, like, subscribe. Thank you. Good night.
Whether it's Fred Meyer Simple Truth Turkey or mac and cheese with Murray's English Cheddar or pie made with fresh Cosmic Crisp apples, there are many dishes we look forward to sharing during the holidays. And Fred Meyer has all the fresh ingredients you need to turn today's holidays into tomorrow's memories. Fred Meyer, fresh for everyone.
Get more ways to save at the Buy 5 or More Save $1 Each sale. Just buy 5 or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Fred Meyer, fresh for everyone.
This holiday season, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. And take your workout to the next level with accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, a heart rate monitor, cycling shoes, and more. Peloton, motivation that moves you. This limited time offer ends December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.